I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Coming up on TMS, the age-old tradition of beating your mom.
Where's my diamond bracelet, Brian?
Frozone pizza.
Where's Elmo?
Smells like me in here.
Totos for pee-poo.
Marijuana poisoning? Gonna check Snoops.com.
Popcorn covered in bubblegum.
All the sample ladies. All the sample ladies.
Oui, oui, poo-poo and ha-ha-ha.
Oh, very French. I hope you like this book more than Bill did.
There's no joy in that con.
Thick, wet quality.
DJ Khaled to English Dictionary.
Evoking the ick with September.
Gift, regift, and misgift with Wendy, and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Toilets and boilers, boilers and toilets, plus that one boiling toilet. Fire me if you dare.
And it's neato.
The Morning Stream. Get your Italian loafers out of my bedpan.
Hello and welcome to TMS. It is The Morning Stream for December 8th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson and that's Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Well, hello, Scott. How are you on this fine, windy Thursday?
Well, today, we got like 2 feet of snow overnight.
And, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So instead, so I had this plan. I had a grand plan because yesterday I was like, the snow has melted. I will get up early and take Rainer for a jog. That's what I'm going to do. And then I got up and saw it was 2 feet of snow. Rainer barely fits in that snow. So I said, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. Instead, I'm going to do a 45-minute treadmill piece of business. Cool. And I did. And I started watching that while I was on it, watching that Pepsi documentary about the Harrier jet.
Yeah, dude, where's my Pepsi?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is.
It's really good so far.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. From the looks of it, it reminds me of the McDonald's...
Yes, the HBO
Monopoly thing. Yes, exactly.
Is that called?
I don't know. All I can remember was the FBI agent who got who was in the meeting for such a long time he got hungry twice.
It's possible this is the same producer directors. I don't know because it feels like that. Feels exactly
McMillions,
like that.
That's what that one's called. Cool.
It's really good though. So if you're a kid of the late '80s and '90s and you want to hear about a thing that I didn't even know happened, this is not news to me. It's fascinating, and also they get to interview a supermodel. Who was the Pepsi supermodel? I forgot her name.
I don't know.
The good looking
one. I didn't know there was a Pepsi supermodel.
She had the mole on her cheek. She's standing by the machine.
Oh, that'd be Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford's probably in it, and she still looks incredible for her age.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know who she made a deal with, but was she with one of the Baldwins for a while, Billy Baldwin, or was it just for that movie that I'm thinking that she was with Billy Baldwin?
Maybe they ended up together during the filming or something, but I don't
Fair
know.
Fair game, yeah.
Maybe it was just the movie. I don't know. She didn't have much of an acting career. There was a couple things.
No, she really didn't. Because she did one where she was accused of killing Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
And then she had that Billy Baldwin fair game thing.
Yeah, which was supposed to be kind of Basic Instinct-y. Kind of, very lascivious new things going on in this movie.
But she was really good in that black and white George Michael video.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah. Got to have faith. No, I don't know what movie.
It was Freedom 90, I believe.
Freedom, that one.
Which had a bunch of supermodels of the time. Linda Evangelista was in that thing.
Oh, was that the one where their heads all change and they're all singing and they just shake their head and now he's a guy with an afro and they shake his head again?
That was Michael Jackson's Black or White.
Oh, that's it. I've mixed them up. I've mixed them
around
up.
The same time, though. So you know what? One probably followed the other on MTV back when you were watching MTV and they were showing music videos.
I will say this: I always thought that video, Michael Jackson's video "Black or White," was really, even today, is technically impressive.
It really is, yeah. And we all had that Morph software. Right. At least I did on my Mac.
Oh yeah.
That was so well done. Like it doesn't look like morphing. Mm-hmm. Sadly, unlike the Godly and Cream video for Cry, which was the first time I saw morphing get used, and it was an early technology. It doesn't look as good for Godly and Cream.
Yeah, we can't play.
Even though I love that song a lot more than I like Black and White by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that thing's popcorn covered in bubblegum, that song. I don't like it. Well, anyway, we're here. We got a show to do, and we got a few things to talk about.
We do.
I just want to give a quick thumbs up to... Actually, I'm both annoyed at Costco and happy with them at the same time.
Okay.
Here's why I'm annoyed. I have a thing. Sure. Let's register a complaint. Where did I put that?
Yeah.
It moved. I did move some things around. Hold on. Let's
see. I moved complaint woman.
I did move it. You know what? I'll wing it with something else. How about... Here's Brian saying yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. So I'm annoyed with Costco because they got my wife in a way that it annoys me. So they have these puzzles, these massive puzzles that some company makes, and they're like 10,000 piece big old.
Oh yeah,
huge puzzles.
Didn't we talk about them on the show that they were like. Yeah, and you bought them all separately, and you could join them all together to make a 30-foot puzzle or something.
Yeah, and they were huge. And we talked about how does anyone have space for that, that whole thing.
Right, right. Exactly.
Well, they also have smaller versions. I think these are 1,000 pieces, and they're just nice art things where it's like, oh, here's the Salt Lake Valley. They have some local stuff, and they probably do this at Costco's around the country. So if you go to Virginia, there'll be something with Virginia and whatever.
Colorado has a Red Rocks puzzle or a,
In fact, that'd be perfect because the way they do it is almost like, Where's Elmo style? So it's
Where's Waldo?
What? You mean it's not Tickle Me Waldo? Yeah, it's not Tickle Me Waldo? Weird. Cabbage Catch Adult?
You made my red and white hat fall off, and I dropped my cane, my walking stick.
I jogged off all my recent memory. you're absolutely right. So it's Where's Waldo? And it's that weird skewed perspective where the idea is to show... a prominent landmark, but then it's full of little people, but they're not really in proper perspective and they're kind of cartoony and it's tons of them. You know what I'm talking about? That kind of mural.
So it's a photograph, but they've put little people on them.
I don't even know if it's a photograph. Yeah, I think even the art is, the background's still art.
Oh,
it's just
still, yeah. Okay. So
just a style. I don't even know what to compare it to, but it's hard to explain. Anyway, I could see them doing that with Red Rock 100%, so they probably do. So it's a thing, you're like, oh, there's Mount Baldy, or here's, Lake Powell, or whatever.
Sure.
They have one that is Costco. Literally, the interior of a Costco with a bunch of people walking around, and they got, a little area, a little lady in a stand that's giving you samples, and there's a...
Perfect.
Checkouts and the hot dog area and all this. Just the whole thing in a big...
Is there somebody fighting at the entrance about wearing a mask?
They sold out of those in 2020. They're all out of those.
Bummer. Okay, darn.
It's unfortunate.
I'd buy it in a heartbeat if that was the case.
Yeah, I would too, because that would be a great little memento of the time.
Mm-hmm. But is the toilet paper aisle completely bare?
Yeah. And they have, SD cards that use 60-pound packaging for a single SD card, things like that.
Right. Giant plastic containers that have a single SD card in them. Yes.
They may as well have the TV section on this thing, and they may as well have a little version of me there staring at them, because that's where I go when I go there. That's my go-to. But anyway,
just pick me up here when you're done. I'm going to keep going back to the sample lady for little pot stickers, and I'm going to watch TV.
Sounds really good right now.
Yeah, those pot stickers
they make them good.
No joke.
Which leads into my compliment. Oh, but my complaint is the damn puzzle. I thought, well, that's dumb. Who would buy a Costco puzzle of Costco? That's dumb. Yeah. We're not doing that. Yeah. That's dumb. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, I'm looking at the gifts that are about to go under the tree. Somebody's getting the Costco puzzle. And I'm annoyed.
I kind of, I would seriously buy that for Tina because she loves jigsaw puzzles.
Oh, really? Like, that's cool.
Yeah, she's totally a jigsaw puzzle. The one that we have upstairs that is next on the list is mine. I'm doing one that is a, it's put together by a guy who does these really intricate, or did them for a while, Master Theorem, these really intricate puzzles online. And they were like part trivia, part puzzle. You know, you had to know something about the thing that he was talking about, but then you also had like connections that you had to make to solve an overall puzzle.
Sure.
And he did a jigsaw puzzle where once you put it together, then there's a puzzle within the puzzle you need to solve. And so that's my next solve, is that one there.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah.
That makes me want to make one, do like a art mural or something, then have it made into a puzzle. The thing is, I don't enjoy doing puzzles.
But I was going to say, you don't like puzzles. So this feels like
I don't hate them, but I just find myself drifting off and rather do something else than put that together.
I feel like those kinds of things are great when you've got a movie that you've seen a bunch of times, like, you know, Christmas Vacation or something like that, right? Sure. Ah, let's put on Christmas Vacation. I'm going to do a puzzle. I could look up on the parts that I know I want to see every time. And then,
that's a good point. You know what? I should, I'm going to have, if this puzzle somehow for me, cause I didn't ask, I don't know
who
this is for.
It might be, no, Kim knows you well enough to not get that for you, right?
I would think so. Unless she knows, cause I did make a big stink about it when I was in the store and saw it and went, this is so dumb. I can't believe it. It's like getting Walmart to make a puzzle. Like, why would you do this? And she may do this as a joke, cause they're not expensive. It's like $10. It's like this cheap thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. If it's not for me, fine. If it's for me, then yeah, maybe you settle down to a thing that can just sort of play in the rear there, in the background, I'll say instead. And
in
then
the rear.
And then
a little rear play.
And then Kim and I can chill out and make Costco people. Oh my gosh, I can't stand this idea.
No, jeez. Yeah.
All right, there. Now that's my complaint.
By the way, just check the website, themastertheorem.com, and M, the guy who's created it, he's the eponymous.
He's Ray Fiennes. If he's M,
he's M, right, exactly. Or he's
just took over for Judy Dench.
The song pop music. Anyway, he's a secretive dude who created this, has turned them all into a collection of books.
Oh, so, that's cool.
I think I might have that first one because he sold it last year for Christmas, and I've got it somewhere over here, and I need to solve it.
Very nice. And by the way, the one kind of puzzle I'd want of this would be this style, the same kind of art, top view, not proper perspective, chibbly looking characters and stuff. I want an arcade.
Oh, that would be a great one with actual real, you know, not fake made up machines, but like, I want to see a Sinistar and a Battle Zone and 1941 and Missile Command.
Exactly. Now, I could make this myself. It would take a long time. Mm-hmm. Or I could, in a few months, maybe ask an AI to do it, and it'll poop it out in 5 seconds.
Probably. Yeah. That's the sad part. Yeah.
I don't love that.
All right. So that was your Costco complaint.
That's my complaint. Here's the good stuff. So we grabbed, they have these cauliflower crust pizzas, which, you know, we get sometimes at over there at the Mod.
Mod?
You
know? Yeah, I love those.
So those are good, better than you'd think they'd be. And so we thought, well, all right, why don't we try that? So Kim grabbed a couple of these. This was like a combo style or whatever. And the thing with Costco food items, I've found anyway, they are really picky about quality, and they will not put crap up on the shelf. And when I worked with Costco, the company I worked for, I had to do some artwork for some packaging. They were so picky about stuff, just really careful about quality, and it had to be just right. And if it didn't meet their standards, they were going to deny it. I mean, they were kind of hardcore about it. And so it doesn't surprise me, but I took these things home. These are just frozen pizzas, stick them in the oven deal. Oh my gosh, they were good.
Really?
They were so good for what it was, especially. But also, if I didn't know any better, I'd say, who made this? This is amazing. This is a really good pizza. So I don't even know the name. I think it may just be Kirkland, honestly.
Well, I was going to say, you get them in the back in the frozen area, right?
Yeah, the frozen zone. Okay. Somebody had recommended them to us, and they said, what you do is you cook them like they say on the thing, but then you do broil for the last 5 minutes or something. Crisp them up nice. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then we played my test game while we ate them, and it was so, oh my gosh, you guys, seriously. I'm not saying you got to go run out and get a Costco membership for this, but I'm just saying if you already have one, grab a couple of those pizzas. They're great. They're very good.
We have a Costco membership, and I shall go there and do that. I I've been wanting to try and make my own cauliflower crust, you know, just use a ricer. Coincidentally, actually, we had cauliflower last night. Tina made this soup that we've made a few times that is cauliflower, kale, cannelloni beans, onions. There's no meat or anything in it, and it is so good. You'd swear it's like, this is, you know, got to be fat soup,
and it's just that's like perfect for this time of year and everything.
50 calories a bowl or something like that. It's just so
yum,
so yum. Good for you. I want that. Anyway, so I've been wanting to do like try and make my own cauliflower crust,
sure.
Ever since I saw it was on the Jon Favreau The Chef Show, and he and Roy Choi were hanging out with a director, and dang it, if I can't remember the name of the director,
film director. Movies.
Yeah, Favreau, Choi, cauliflower crust. But Gwyneth Paltrow was there, and Robert Rodriguez. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow was there, and she didn't remember that she was in one of the Spider-Man movies.
That's great.
Such a great episode.
She's so into her goop that she forgot.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. By the way, what's that smell?
What is that candle smell?
Oh, it's me.
Oh, it's me. You don't have my candle? It's just me.
It's just me.
Gross. No, that's cool. So I would eat that. Everything you've talked about today.
Apparently, it's super easy. It's like you basically rice a cauliflower, use a ricer, and a box grater.
Okay, and so then, I was going to ask is how do you get it in its granular form, you know?
Yeah, and then you find some sort of binding agent. I can't remember what he used, but something that was able to bind it. Obviously, it wasn't flour.
Right.
And then, food processor you can use, and then he just made the pizza with that, and it's like, oh my God, so easy.
I want to do that. I would make that. Yeah. We had cauliflower as well, but it was just kind of by itself last night, which is sort of its thing. All right. Now I'm hungry.
I thought you had the pizza last night.
No. That was the night before.
Cauliflower separately, too?
Yeah, we did. The pizza was not last night, night before. And then last night was some homemade thing Kim did, which was great because I had to record late. And then, I don't know, there's something about going upstairs and realizing that you haven't eaten. And then right there is this like piping hot plate of homemade everything.
Yeah. Oh,
man. So good.
Tonight, I'm so excited. We're the one and only company Christmas party that I get to go to because as a freelancer you don't have a company, and so you just got to kind of rely on one of your clients inviting you to their company party. But it's at a sushi place in Boulder called Japango.
Nice.
We're gonna do it up.
It sounds like Japango sounds like a great name for a sushi place. So
or an app where you throw balls at Japanese people and try and collect them.
Congratulations, you have achieved the Japango.
That's right. You've evolved.
Evolved. The frame break. Anyway.
The shiny logo.
That's awesome. I'm very excited for you to tell stories about the debauchery that happens at your party.
I hope there will be. There should be some. We'll see.
I have no parties like that lined up other than family stuff this year. It's a little sad. Usually we get invited to one little, something. Kim used to do this thing called the Shepherd's Dinner, where she would just do like finger food and have a big spread and invite a bunch of people over. I don't know if we're doing that again. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Some of the people I used to like, I don't like anymore.
Oh, really?
They just kind of, people got a little weird during the pandemic, you know? People started, you figured out who was really your real friends and who was not a douche, you know? That was a...
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a good filtering system that we had during the pandemic, which I guess
it really was. It kind of like separated the wheat from the chaff, basically.
Yeah. Yep, that is the case. All right, Brian, your 3D printer. We had a story. We had a thing.
Yeah. What's going on? This was about a month ago. Got this brand new printer. This brand new Anycubic Cobra Max, which is why I was able to print a full size helmet in one go. I could have sworn I talked about this on the show. So if anybody's remembering this and I've told this story, then stop me. But, I found out, so the first prints that I was doing on it had some stringing to them, right? So I was doing some Yetis for the Etsy store, and I noticed that like, as it was going between places that it was printing, it was connecting them with a little tiny string of thin filament, which is like no big deal if it's just a few things.
A little booger string from one point to the other. It would just like drag it over, right?
Yeah, but it looked, you know, it basically, he looked like he was more of a Sasquatch than a Yeti. Like he looked shaggy with this thing.
Yeah.
So I did some looking online and I found some settings to dial down. And then also somebody had come up with these fan shrouds that you could install around the printhead that direct the fan air boom right at the printhead. So as it's moving around, it cools the filament as soon as the filament comes out of the deal.
Mm.
As soon as it comes out of the nozzle.
That makes sense.
So I'm like, oh, great. I printed those. I took off the printhead. I, you know, installed the fan shrouds. And then I'm trying to put the, you know, those little plastic connectors. So you've got a couple pins that come out of the circuit board, and then you put the connector over those pins.
Oh, right. I don't know what you call those, though, but I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all over motherboards and stuff. It's...
They're all over motherboards, yeah. And it makes it so easy, like, if you are taking something apart to put it back together. Yeah. Unless they're using the thinnest pins possible. And, so Burgess Diesel is telling me that Wes is in the chat room. He says, yeah, I did talk about this. So
I don't remember this.
In the process of putting things back together, I bent one of the pins, bent it off. Any cubic, I emailed them and said, look, whatever, I'll pay for a new board. Sorry about that. It, you know, obviously my fault, however much it costs to send me a new board. And they said, nope, your happiness is important to us. We are going to send you a replacement board, no charge. And and it's on its way to
good on them, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, so got the new board. It actually, instead of just having the pins loose, had them in the little plastic holder that little plastic plug goes into, which makes things way easier and doesn't bend things. So it was obviously a you know, flaw in the original design of the board, which may be one of the reasons that they were so fine with replacing
it. Well, look at that. Between them and Valve, we got all this like good customer service going on. This is nice.
That's right. So right now I've got Yetis going on each of the filament printers, and then a God of War printing on the resin printer for my niece's boyfriend's Christmas present.
You're like Chloe Claretz Mortez in that new show I watched. She works for a 3D printing company, and they got 100 of them going at once. Yeah. That's you're gonna like that aspect of Peripheral.
I can't wait to watch it. The Peripheral.
Yeah, it just ended, so you got the whole thing now. If you're, well, I shouldn't say ended. First season one ended.
Like season ended. Yeah,
the season two is already approved.
I was thinking about this a couple days ago. I'm like, oh my god, I got this thing I need to print for a client on Etsy. I guess I can order the filament I need from Amazon because I'm almost out of it and I don't have enough to print this thing. And I was thinking to myself, God, you know, the ideal job thing for me would be to create a, like, go and get one of these cheap vacated strip mall locations. Have a combination 3D print service place, like where, you know, if you need something 3D printed, you bring it in and we can 3D print it for you.
Right.
3D printer repair, 3D printing materials, filament, and like replacement Bowden tubes and nozzles and things like that, which are universal, relatively universal.
Sure.
And then a little podcast studio in the back.
Perfect.
So I can do my shows while, you know, somebody else, some teenager runs the front.
Like, yeah, you want somebody running the front, because I cannot imagine, having worked for a paper printer copier place back in the day, I cannot imagine the stupidity that would walk through the door wanting 3D printing. You know?
That's right.
Like,
you 3D print me a 3D printer?
Yeah, if I gave that be done? And wait a minute, you mean I need to provide you with a file? I thought y'all made that shit.
Exactly.
I don't know why he has that voice, but...
anyway, so... So in my other life, that's what I'm running. I'm running a 3D printer shop somewhere in a strip mall in Arvada. That's
now I'm even more excited for you to see that, because that's basically what she runs in this thing.
In an alternate universe. Oh, really?
Yeah, cool. It's weird. It's funny because you're going to see...
I better get on it then before somebody else steals that idea.
And you're going to see it and go... you're going to see it with a different eye, because I saw it. I don't understand a ton of that stuff because I just don't work with printers. So I don't know if any of the stuff they showed was like super realistic or not. So you're going to see it and go... Oh, no, that doesn't work that way.
It's going to be like, oh, that's not how gaming works.
Yeah. You might run into that a little bit. I don't know.
Sure.
Just a little warning, I guess. But
All right.
Well, good for them and good for everybody. You didn't hear it in the talk. The people listening and not here live, our patrons. Valve is doing a similar nicety for me. You know what I sometimes think? Because this joystick problem, in any other case, I think they may have said, oh, sorry, not covered or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think probably what they do as part of this, because to register the ticket, I had to sign into my Steam account. So they know who I am.
Oh, so they can see how much you've spent on Steam games.
Yeah, and they can look at my list. Yeah. I have over 2,000 Steam games. So they're like, oh, shit, he's a whale. I'm we can't hurt the whales. Yeah. Don't poke the whale, you know.
Make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. Get the whatever he wants. Get it to him.
The only bummer is I don't think it'll be back to me before Christmas, but that's okay. I'll be all right. I got other stuff to do. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can play games where you just have to tap the screen, right? Or you can, you know.
Well, I have to send it to them because
that's right. You send it to them.
Yeah, I got to mail it to them. So they either fix it or replace it. Either way, what I'd hoped they were going to do is do the Apple thing where they cross ship one, and then I just send the other one back. Yeah. I was really hoping for that, but I should have said 20 of my pixels are broken. You need to send me a cross shot, but I'm not a dick. I can't do that.
No.
Who's going to do that? Not me.
Not you.
All right. 9 of 12 coming in.
Yeah. 9 of 12. Wait a minute. Isn't it Amy's day?
Well, we got a scab. Said,
knowing fully well the answer.
We got a scab coming in. Someone who's going to take her place for today's festivities. First of all, we should say that Amy is doing much better. She's at home resting, convalescing, and repairing biologically from her her time at the surgeon. So she's not here today. However, sitting in her place, September. Hello, September. Welcome.
Hello. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you for doing this. I know. So you and Amy kind of worked all this out on the side, which I'm glad you did, because by the time I got unbusy enough to like check on everything that was going on, you guys had already sort of solved my problem for me. So thank you for doing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it came up last week. I think it was Amy's idea. And then you were like, oh, yeah, we'll do that. And then you kind of forgot.
Yeah, you know how my memory goes. Then I forget.
Yeah.
I eat a couple of pizzas. You know, I break a joystick and everything goes out the window. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you here. We have a clip and everything. We're going to talk about something you want to recommend. Do you want to set this up at all or anything before we play it?
I guess play it first, then we'll talk about it.
All right, here you go.
This is it, Alice. Time to shine, Mother said, stepping aside and gesturing calmly toward the open door. It took a moment for the other two witnesses to realize what Alice was doing and get out of the way. Averting her eyes, Alice stepped up to the threshold, just as another ear-splitting scream, this one of a thick, wet quality, burst out of the opening. She looked back at Mother, preferring to face her impatience than whatever was in that room. She could smell the metallic aroma of fresh blood, feel the rank humidity of sweat and bodily fluids. It was a slaughterhouse that she didn't want to face alone. Hurry, Mother said, letting just a hint of fear slip through her urging. You can do this, Alice. Taking a deep, blood-scented breath and closing her eyes, Alice turned toward the room. Moist cracking and a frantic gurgle were all she could hear. Knowing she would lose her nerve if she were to take but the smallest of peeks, she instead concentrated on the task at hand. Any time, Alice, Mother said through thinly veiled worry. Another deep breath, and Alice began to sing. The song, a sweet, slow lullaby, came out a trembling mess. Alice could picture Mother's annoyed eyes. She was better than this, more practiced. In fact, when she put her mind to it, as Mother demanded her to do at this precise moment, Alice was perfect.
I swear I've read this. This is so familiar to me.
You may have read this.
That also sounded like Dick Cavett for some reason. Like
at first, it sounded like David Hyde Pierce, but yeah.
Dick Cavett, a little of that too. Yeah, it was like a weird combo. But all right, so tell us.
To me, it sounded like a robot until like some inflections. All of a sudden, there's expression in the voice. I'm like, oh, I guess it's not a robot.
Yeah, I guess he does sound like he could be a good android if he wanted to be, for sure. But what are we hearing there? What is this?
So that is from Song of the Sandman by J.F. Dubow.
Oh, I haven't read that.
Yeah. We know that guy.
We know him.
We know that guy. All right. I thought I'd bring you some horror because Amy can't. Mm-hmm. And so that would be a good sub in.
Sure.
Yeah.
And his writing is fantastic. Song of the Sandman came out this year. It's a sequel to God in the Shed, which I also just love. Mm. His brand of writing and horror is just, it's so on point. It's so next level. I mean, there's a lot of gore in there. It's not all just gore, but when he goes there, his descriptions really evoke the ick. Mm. But he's got a Stephen King-esque thing going. Everything, he's Canadian. Mm-hmm. So it's like, instead of everything being, you know, Maine, Connecticut, New York, little small towns, it's small towns around Montreal and such. And sometimes you know, recognize names, sometimes they're fictional. And it's like characters you can really relate to, and every description of these little towns, like you really get in the story. And then there's like some Lovecraftian level, something is very, very wrong.
My favorite. Yeah, I like JF's books, and I also always felt like he did have kind of a King-esque sort of take on things. That's probably why this sounded so familiar to me, because it just felt very, very like from the mind of Stephen King. And I mean that in a positive sort of complimentary way, because I think that's hard to harness, and I think he does a really good job of that. If any of you have been to Nerdtacular before, you probably met JF and didn't know it. Or maybe you did, because it was part of a booth at one point. But really talented dude, making rad books.
And for anyone who, I wanted to give a little tip for people who can't or don't want to do horror, and, you know, Amy in particular, there's a science fiction book, I don't know if you've read, of his. He did write one, it's called Life Engineered.
That's the one I read.
Okay.
It was great.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when I first read it, I was contacting him. I'm like, JF, there's got to be a sequel to this. And how in the hell do you write horror so well? And then the science fiction, it's just a completely different thing. And he also writes that very well. Mm-hmm. I did talk to some tadpoolers in the Read This channel to make sure this wasn't just overkill. Everyone already read everything. But it seems like y'all need this reminder to go ahead and read his books. A lot of people are listening to Aquilo, read by our friend Amy Frost. A great podcast that he writes. But the books seem to sit on everyone's to-read list. And you will not regret it. And there was a little teaser recently in his social media about The Life Engineered. So my hopes are up again that there will be a sequel to that.
It seems like a no-brainer. That book came out, let's see, 2016. I think I read it in 2017. God in the Shed came out in 2017. That's what it was. I haven't read any of the horror stuff. I'm now interested. These sound great. What is the
These
Fear
do
Forge
stand
anthology?
On their own.
This anthology,
of course.
This anthology book he did with a bunch of other authors, this Fear Forge thing. Have you read that?
I have not.
Oh, that looks good, too.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of authors in that one, because it's anthology stories, but that's awesome. All right. Well, he seems to be doing great. Look at all this business.
Yeah, no kidding.
Some of his books are in French.
He's a great guy.
I didn't know there were French. He wrote in French. Look at this. Yeah, J.F. Dubow's Les Deux Exchange. I don't know how
he is Dubow.
Yeah, that's true. I assume
and
he's French-Canadian.
That was a challenge for him. There was a lot of interesting, if you follow him on Facebook and such, he talks about that process and what a challenge it was to write in French.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet.
Like the whole book.
Yeah. It sounds hard, and that's mainly because I don't know any French, but I know a little wee-wee and a little poo-poo. That's all I know, for sure.
Sure. And a whole.
That's right.
Yeah. I was so excited. I went to a Barnes & Noble, and I saw Song of the Sandman on the shelf, and I was like, I know that guy.
It is cool. It is cool when you know somebody who makes good and, you know, ends up publishing or whatever. It's awesome to see that. These are only, let's see, the hardback edition is only at $12 for God in the Shed. Song of the Sandman, $9. Yeah, these are affordable as well.
And there are audiobooks and Kindle editions of them as well.
Pretty cool. J.F. Dubow is a good dude, and I'm glad to see we used one of his suggestions here. And I love horror books, so I'm all in on this. This is great. Take that, Amy, you and your aversion to horror books. well done. This is
happy
awesome.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, too. Right. That's the other thing. She's having a birthday and in a lot of pain. How can That's you beat right. that?
what a great combo.
Yeah, really, right? You can't get better
treat yourself.
That.
Take an extra pain pill.
That's what I say.
we'll have a little something extra for her at the end of the show.
Oh, right? Nice. Well, very good. So Monday I'm on your show, I hear, September. Is that true? I'm coming on there Monday night?
I hope it's true.
I think it's true.
It's terrible if you don't show up.
Yeah, I'm showing up for sure. I get to be on your gaming show, and I'm very excited about it. You want to tell people about that, and anything else you want to mention before we go?
Actually, it's not the gaming show. You have already been on the
Have
gaming
I been?
Show.
Which one's this one? I don't remember
This
anything.
Is Geek Grills.
Oh, right. Never mind. That's the one I've been wanting to get on, though, because it's the one that everybody says, oh, get on there, and I haven't been on there. So now I'm on there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Fill in my bingo card. like I've had Tom and Brian and...
That's right. Oh, they raked me over the coals for ANTP, man, on that
I'll
show.
I'll bet they did. Yeah, it was sweet revenge. Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that. Where can people find said shows?
Well, if you go to 9of12.com, that will give you easy links to all of my shows and projects. But at twitch.tv/geekgrills is where you will be able to come live on Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern time to see us torture Scott.
And for all, and so people know, 9 of 12 is it's spelled out 9 and then of and then the number 12, right? That's how you find it?
Yeah, a good way to remember it is it's alpha and then numeric. N-I-N-E-O-F 1-2.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, very nice.
9 of 1-2.
That's a good mnemonic, or wait, is that the word? What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Sure. Mnemonic device. I guess anything that helps you remember the way something is spelled or arranged, I guess, is a mnemonic device, right?
Yeah. Why not?
Doesn't have to be a, you know, mother always said, eat vegetables poorly or something like that. that isn't really a thing.
No, but she was right. Always eat them poorly.
Yes.
Well, it's been good to have you on here, September. I can't wait to be on Monday, and I hope you're having a great holiday season. We'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you for September stepping in for Amy. Amy's in the chat and doing okay, it sounds like.
Good.
Yeah, that's all you can, you know, what else can you ask for? You just need to have time to heal and...
to recover, to convalesce.
Yeah, that's what you got there. Yeah. All right, we got some quick news here that we're going to do, and let's get to it.
Good morning, everybody. In the news this morning, good morning.
It's time for the news brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville. Yes, there will be a Coverville today, and we're celebrating the 19th, not the 20th, but the 19th anniversary of the film Love Actually with a track-by-track coverage of not just the soundtrack, but every song played in the movie, with the exception of a couple. I don't have a cover of that... that crappy Donny Osmond song that the DJ plays at the wedding. But you're going to hear just about everything else. Big old show today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville. And I will be playing the new Silver Surfer card. I've got a deck built around the Silver Surfer card in Marvel Snap that you can watch me use to great or poor effect.
Nice. I'll bet it's great effect. I don't think it'll be poor effect.
I hope it's great effect. He's got a very specific use case, and I keep screwing it up because it's a +3 to all of your 3-cost cards, but it's an on-reveal and not an ongoing. So you got to make sure you play him at the very end as opposed to playing him early and then playing all your 3 cards.
Interesting. Yeah. You may want to see how that plays out, too. I'll try to tune in today.
Today
tune at 1.
In. Tune in for that.
1
today
PM.
At 1. Mountain
All right, watch for it.
Mountain Time, twitch.tv/Coverville.
We got some rapper news. Drake, yeah. You know Drake up there in Canada, Drake?
I do know Drake. I mean, I don't know him, but...
know of him.
He only calls me on the telephone.
That's right. And he's in the big red coat saying, no, thanks, like this a lot. You know, that's his thing. Well, anyway, Drake.
Yeah, that guy.
He gave DJ Khaled... I used to say Khalid, but it's Khalid.
Yeah.
The other rapper, producer.
Khalid, I don't like.
Yeah. He's had a ton of success, so he's doing something right. It's just not in my vein. It's not in my zone,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, Drake gave DJ Khalid 4 luxury toilets for his birthday. Oh,
okay.
How sweet.
Great.
He thanked Drake for his 47th birthday gift for luxury toilets, the Toto toilets. I assume it's not Tutu.
Toto. Yeah, no, they're like the Toto washlet.
Okay, so it's
These
Toto.
These are great toilets.
These must be nice.
These are the ones in like Japan. We've got a pseudo Toto washlet in our house that is just a Toto attachment, but it washes and dries and massages and
if you tap your feet together,
checks you for moles and
does
all that stuff.
That's great. Yeah. You tap your feet together, it'll take you home, take you back to Kansas. Anyway,
exactly. Yeah.
The Toto toilets have several state-of-the-art features, including a UV light for cleaning surfaces, an air deodorizer, heated seats, bidet function, and tornado flush system, according to Uproxx. I don't know what a tornado flush is. That scares me.
It always keeps the water swirling in one direction as opposed to different directions, depending on the...
Did you see that huge email that Jeff sent back with, like...
Yeah.
That plant, about the was it called the something?
It is called the I don't. I have it.
The toilet
I
direction.
I saved
factor.
It, but I don't have it. Yeah, the
Corellian.
Oh, I thought you meant the spinning racket thing.
Oh no, not that.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
watch that video.
The one that he sent a big old
Earth. The Coriolis effect.
Coriolis. There you go. And the Earth had all these little circles on it about where it would happen if everything was equal and they didn't have. The whole thing we talked about
imperfections with toilets and things like
or
that.
Or some toilets are, you know, like this tornado one is probably pushing it one way and one way only, baby.
For sure. Yeah, that gets that big DJ Khaled poop down. Man.
Yeah. He says this. He says, Drake, real talk. My queen and I have been wanting this for our house. Thank you, my brother. He wrote in a caption. Nah, this is no regular toilet. This Toto. Same model as the ones in the embassy, like what Drake like. Love, brother. Love. Thank you for the gift. This is how these people talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like one of those. Those are nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
Drake's house.
The heated seats are great in the winter for people like us. It's like we sit down in the middle of the night have to go to the bathroom. It's like, don't want to turn the light on. It's got a little UV, like a little night lighty kind of thing, so you don't have to turn the bathroom lights on and freak your eyes out.
Right.
And the heated seat, it's like, oh, I'm just gonna continue sleeping right here for a while.
Hell yeah. I'll just stay there and play Marvel Snap until the tornado kicks in.
That's right.
If you've never been to Drake's house, says DJ Khaled, you'll know it's worth $500 million. That's a lot.
If you've never been to Drake's house, okay.
I don't know. That's weird. If you've never been there, you know it's worth $500 million.
I know, it's
that's effed up.
Anyway. You know, I don't have my DJ Khaled English dictionary handy, but I could figure out what he means by that.
Then he says, it's not about the money. It's just about he went and got us the best of the best. Well, why'd you bring up the $500 million house then?
Right, it's not about the money. If it's not about the money.
Yeah. Of course, it's about the frickin' money. All right, well, good luck to them. May all your butts be clean. Here is a story about, I hate this one, but I love it. All right.
Okay.
This to me represents the current state of humanity too well, but I'm going to read it. Hospital patient arrested for allegedly switching off a neighbor patient's noisy oxygen machine. The hospital patient has been arrested. She allegedly twice shut off the oxygen equipment of a fellow patient who depended on it, by the way, because it was too noisy. This according to Germans. This is in Germany. This is in the southwest city of Mannheim. Nothing to do with steamroller or bad Christmas music. The warrant for a 72-year-old woman arrested. She was brought before the magistrate, investigating judge of Mannheim local court on Wednesday. She was later admitted to a correctional facility. The police headquarters and public officers in Mannheim said in a statement, the woman allegedly turned off the main switch of the oxygen equipment sometime before 8 p.m. on Tuesday. Quote, after feeling disturbed by the sound emanating from it. Wait.
Emanating.
Why does it look wrong? Emanating. That's correct, but it looks wrong. she said in a statement, though the suspect was informed by hospital staff the oxygen supply was a vital measure, she allegedly did it again at 9 p.m. The 79-year-old woman had to be resuscitated and is still receiving intensive medical care, the woman that was tied to the machine.
Yeah.
So this person is like, it's too noisy for me to listen to. Yeah?
Yeah. Your breathing is disturbing my sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't go on breathing while Greta over there needs to get her rest in.
Inga.
I can't think of a good Russian name or a German name.
Both of those are good. Greta's good as well.
Okay, good. Final story. This is a quick one. A caterer has been sued. That's not the story. There's more to it.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
They were sued because they laced the food with marijuana at a Longwood wedding. Oh, that's no good. This is in Orlando. Florida does not have legal marijuana recreational.
Florida caterer.
Plus, even if it was legal recreational marijuana, I don't think you're allowed to like spike food with it.
No, you don't. You can't dose people without their approval.
Yeah, that's weird. An Orlando caterer accused of being involved in a food lace thing with marijuana at the Longwood wedding, now faces a lawsuit from one of the wedding's guests. Jocelyn Bryant, age 31, caterer of the wedding back in February, which is where deputies found multiple guests high on the marijuana, was arrested. Let's see. They spoke to several of the guests who have told deputies they began to feel sick after eating food at the wedding venue. Were they feeling sick or were they just feeling, you know, groovy?
Well, you know, it depends on your reaction to marijuana. You may not.
That's true.
Especially how much you have may determine how you feel.
Let's see. Some people became violently ill, had permanent injuries from marijuana poisoning, according to the lawsuit. I didn't know that was a thing. Oh, my God.
Permanent injuries from marijuana poisoning.
I don't even know what that is. Maybe it's a liver thing? Like
Snoop says, that's bullshit.
Yeah, Snoop knows. He knows the score.
Snoop says no. Yeah. Cheech and Chong are like, can I bring to the...
Your Honor, I implore you. We have evidence here. Yeah, they would
I called,
not.
I called to the stand Mr. Cheech and Chong.
Mr. Tommy Chong, will you please state your full name for the record? Yeah, man. Dave's not here, man.
Dave's not here.
That's good stuff. Anyway, there's your stories for the day. Fun stuff. Yep. Take that news to the bank. We're going to take a break. When we come back, my sister Wendy, the therapist, will be here. We're going to talk about gift-giving anxiety. Tis the season, Brian. Tis the season.
It is. We all worry about that sort of thing.
That's right. Everybody pray for a Christmas miracle because that's coming up next. Before that, though, musical break from you. So what do you got?
All right. Well, I have... So I was pulling up Google Translate because... Oh, there we go. Oh, okay. Nice. All right. I'll explain why I was pulling up Google Translate right now.
Okay.
We've got a foreign language song right now, a bedroom pop artist. I don't know what that means, but I like it. Named Braddy. She has a brand new song called E Como, which is and why, featuring E Como. There's two different Comos, right?
Oh,
how and how, I think it is. Okay, in this case.
I don't know.
It depends on if there's an accent mark or not.
Got it.
I think, boy, it's been a while. 3 years of Spanish, you'd never guess.
Yeah.
This also features Hines joining her on vocals. She's got a brand new album coming out January 5th. It's called Es Mi Fiesta y Si Quiero Hago Un, which is it's my party and I'll make it. Or something like that.
Nice. Well,
I'll make it.
If it's your party, lines. I'll make it. Damn it.
Yeah, it's not. I'll cry if I want to. It's my party, and if I can, I'll be there.
Great. Perfect. Perfect.
Anyway, the song is called E Como. Here is Braddy.
Después de 40 noches sin ver. Mrs. George Washington Cavanaugh, escorted by Prince Falco and Prince Filiberto de Bourbon.
The Morning Stream. Gas up the machine. She's down to fumes.
And we're back, everybody. Hey, I don't remember that name. Could you tell me again?
It's been a while. It's been, how long has it been? It's been 3 minutes and 32 seconds since I told you. That is Mexico-based bedroom pop artist Braddy featuring Hines and a song called Y Como, which is And How, which, you know, makes me always think of the Little Rascals. She's got a brand new album coming out January 5th called Es Mi Fiesta y Si Quiero Hago Un.
Oh, wow. You did that to kid. That was...
Thank you. 3 years of Spanish. I don't remember what it means, but I can speak it.
Yeah. So it's this right here.
And how.
It's that.
And how. Just and like how. That, as a matter of fact. Yes.
All right. Well, it's time to bring Wendy in. I'm still trying to understand what bedroom pop is, but I'll get over it. I still don't understand that. But
listen, once you listen to the song, I mean the song you just listened to 3 minutes and 32 seconds ago, once you listen to that, you'll understand what bedroom pop is.
All right. That sounds good to me.
It's something you don't want to ever hear.
Oh, well, thank goodness. Hey, ow! Y'all. It's time. Ow, that's bedroom pop. All right, here's this. Everyone knows it's Wendy. It's a Christmas miracle in its own right. My sister Wendy joins us each and every Thursday to talk about people's problems, their issues, their stuff. Sometimes it's email. Sometimes it's a main topic. Today, it's one of those days. And it's always good to have her here. Hi, Wendy. Welcome back.
Hi, thanks.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Hello.
Good. Hey, you know what's exciting?
Yeah, tell me.
Since your boys enjoy playing my my Rock Runners game, my new game, Dungeon Murder, is almost done. And
Dungeon Murder.
Yeah, it's not nearly as dastardly as it sounds. It's a little silly, dark. Actually. Okay. But it's more of a fantasy rather than sci-fi based game. And it's almost ready. And when I've got decks ready, I'm going to send them to you guys to be one of my testers.
Yes, please. Yeah.
So I'll let you
know.
They
would love it.
110 cards. Get ready. It's thick. Look how thick that is, Brian.
It's really fun. It and also, my kids are really good at it. And I haven't played. So I just got demolished.
Well, you'll get worked by them on this one as well. So I look forward to the stories. Okay. Yeah, it'll be fun.
Age-old tradition to beat your mom at a game.
Yep.
Great.
That's right. And this one you can do up to 5 players, 2 to 5. And anybody pretty much 8 and older will understand it. So
cool.
None of you have an excuse. You can all play. Well, anyway, let's get to it. Wendy's here, as she always is on Thursdays. We're going to talk about a thing here that is probably on the minds of a lot of people. I actually felt like, you know, shoot, this weekend or next weekend. Well, it made more sense this weekend because this is when everyone's scrambling to do the thing we're going to talk about.
Yeah, plus I won't be here to hear it next week.
Oh, that's right, because you're going to be in Vermont.
And Brian needs to hear this. This
yeah, I think we may not even have a show next Thursday.
Yeah, we may not even be here. We don't even know. But I can tell you this, gift giving, which is the grand tradition of Christmas, you know, everybody's giving gifts and everything. Mm-hmm. The thing you never hear about is this feeling of, I don't know if I'm going to describe this right, but like somebody gives you something and you already know what you did under the tree for them. Mm-hmm. And then you see what they gave you and you go, oh my gosh, this is so good. There's no way my thing's even going to come close to this. Right. That's one like, form of
it. Can I run to the store real quick and swap this out for something better?
Yeah. There's one, that's one form of it. Like I remember, I won't say names here, and I think you were there, Wendy, but we had one of our Christmas Eves at mom's house and we did the white elephants and the idea was nothing over $20, small, dumb stuff, no big deal. And somebody brought multiple $250 drones, like remote controlled drones to the party. I think you were there. You may have been in Sweden.
Wow.
I do not remember that. That's awesome.
And it was really awesome, but it meant that somebody...
I'm going to trade the porcelain leprechaun for one of the drones, please.
Yeah, nobody wanted anything but the drones that year. And the person that brought the drones wasn't like they were doing it to mess anything up. I think they just thought, oh, these would be cool. And they were.
They probably misunderstood. Or maybe they fell off a truck.
Maybe. Oh.
They're just trying to. Maybe just they trying were an easy way to unload them.
That's an interesting... I see. I thought you meant they were living, fell off a truck because they're dumb.
Oh, no, I see.
No, I mean the drones fell off a truck. Not
got
the,
it. People got it. I thought you were, yeah. I was like, is this a new euphemism for being, you're under a rock and you don't know what a white elephant gift is?
Yeah, basically.
That's amazing. Okay, so that's an example of like the weird vibes you can get about gift giving. I mean, yeah, we could come up with many of those, right? So we've got the, oh, you got me something nicer than I got you.
Right.
Yeah. You got the, you did not understand what white elephant there, gift meant.
Even the,
right,
even the oh my gosh, you got me something. I didn't think we were getting each other, yeah, gifts this year. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big, yes, one. And there's also
my
this
favorite
one,
is when, yeah, someone forgets that it's, or that happens, and then they, you know, quickly find like a tin of some hot chocolate that someone else had given them. And they try to give it to you, and you're like,
oh, right. Didn't I give this to you last year?
Yeah, it was, that's the problem.
Yeah, totally.
We had that for our wedding. We got a thing from the 70s that somebody gave us, and it was still wrapped, sweet, and still had a card in it that said, "Dear whoever they were, we wish you well on your wedding." And here we are getting it in 92, and it was either a joke or the worst case of like regifting ever. I
wonder if it's the same people that came to your wedding and mine, but same. We got a giant bowl. It was wrapped really lovely, and underneath the wrapping between the bowls, so whoever was regifting never saw the card.
Yep,
was the card.
Yep, may have been the same people.
The 70s though.
Yeah,
I found a used book in Second of Charles. I love that store. There was I think a Nick Lowe autobiography, and my friend Chris Brown, a huge Nick Lowe fan, and so I'm like, well, I'm totally getting this for him. But it was inscribed. So it was written like, Bill, I hope you find great inspiration in this story and it helps you propel your music career to great heights.
Yeah.
And so I inscribed it underneath that. I said, Chris Brown, I hope you like this book more than Bill did. Love, Brian.
That's great.
You have to keep adding pages.
Yeah, just keep, right, keep adding.
I assume it was Billy, what's his name from Green Day?
Billy Joe Armstrong.
Yeah, Billy Joe Armstrong. Sure. He's the one that gave up on that book. He was like, nah, I'm good. Right. Yes. I'm doing punk. Yeah. Very punk rock thing to do is re-gift your book to a bookstore. But anyway, yeah, so those are good examples. Another example might be, you know, well, I don't know that person very well. Should I send them something? I feel like I might. Oh, I don't know if I should. Maybe just a card. And then you do it. And then later they send you something and you're like, oh, shoot, I should have been more thoughtful about what I sent that person. I guess that's just an offshoot of mine, the one I said before. But it's just like this weird thing. Like, what's too much? Is it too much? If I make something, is that seen as better or worse? Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff.
Way.
Mm-hmm. Why do we do this to each other? It seems bad. You know?
Yeah, it's really human. So let's actually go to why this exists and what makes it so human. And that is a couple very fundamental things. Is gift giving at its core is an extension of love, right? It's, I care about you. I think about you. Here's a thing for you. And, you know, as humans, we need things to survive. And so maybe it was trading goods at one point. Maybe it was, you know, it's part of celebrations, right? Like, so obviously Christmas is a compilation of lots of things coming together and turned into a billion dollar industry. Yeah.
Many billions.
But at some point it was like, here's a little satchel of nuts for you to eat in the winter or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
You guys know what I mean. Anyway, so it's like it comes from some, you know, different places for different reasons, and then it's kind of built into us. And it's changed and morphed and all those good things. But ultimately, if we think about what it is, it's an extension of, it's like a, and this is why it's one of the five love languages, right? It's like, you know, compliments and spending time with me and giving gifts, right? Like getting and giving gifts might be a way you feel connected. And, you know, not everyone has the same level of that, but it is, you know, sort of ubiquitous too. I care about you. Here's the thing, that, you know, you have rings on your fingers for reasons and other things that are, it's, you know, kind of symbolic of that. So at its core, it kind of comes from a good place and it comes from a very human, place. And then it gets complicated, for lots of reasons. And here's another fundamental human factor here. Is that we all have what's called, is it focalism? I think if I'm remembering
focalism,
right,
psychological
term.
I've never heard
that. It's basically this. It's where you are really aware of your experience of a thing. And we do this sort of projecting onto other people their experiences of things. And so when I give you a gift, what I'm doing is I'm saying, ooh, what would Scott like? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get it. But I am really gearing up for one moment. I'm gearing up for the you opening it moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'm focused on what I think you're going to respond, how you're going to respond. And your response is, I want you to be happy. Okay.
Right.
So there's that factor. And then I am also focused on like my own experience of this thing. So I might think it's a great gift or it's a fine gift because I would like it. I'm also focused on the moment you open it, not the reality of what that gift is going to be to you. Okay. So right. Your focus or your experiences can be very different from the gift giver, right? Mm-hmm. You could be, so the moment of opening it, that's kind of fun, but what do you do with it after? Mm-hmm. When do you use it later? Is it something you're just going to re-gift or you're going to use right away or you're going to be like, what is this for? Or, you know, you can kind of think of like an old aunt who gave you a present. You're like, what the? She doesn't. Oh, I got one. My aunt who gave me, you know, Hello Kitty sticker, packets of stickers when I was like 17.
And whoa, that's because wait a minute.
She
can I
can't
guess
remember
aunt?
How old I was. And from her focal point,
yeah.
She was so focused on what her own experience of me was. It wasn't, you have to get to know somebody. Okay. So we have a couple of those elements. And then here's the kicker.
Hold on. Does her name start with an S? Does it start with an S, her name? Just checking.
No, it starts with a C.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Denver connection. Yeah. All right. Keep going.
Yeah. We didn't live close enough for her to see me not be 4 feet tall and love stickers.
Right.
But there's another factor that's really important here is that we all believe the same thing. And I want both of you to just look deep in your heart when I say this and tell me if you believe it. Okay. We all believe the same thing that guessing what somebody wants is way better than asking them for what they want and then buying it. Okay. Different people, right? You can maybe ask the spouse you're really close to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, I'd say easier in this day and age than it was before with the ease of, you know, gift receipts and just take it to the Kohl's and send it back to Amazon and get, if they're not happy with it, easier to return than,
yeah.
Oh, I bought you this from that, you know, it took 8 weeks to ship here from Malaysia. And,
that has changed things, I would say so.
Yeah. I like,
what is it about that? Like why do we, and again, remember the focal point of the giver is the moment of opening.
Right. It, you want something that gives you as much fun watching them open it as it does for them to hopefully the joy that they receive when they do open it.
Right.
Yes. Which is why everyone lies, right? Oh, I love it.
Oh, great. I don't already have 4 of these. Thank you.
Yeah. It's like a human, we have a little code book you could read about gift giving. And there's a couple things. We're all going to lie. We're all going to hope we understand what the other person wants. And and so you wonder why we're stressed? Because we really are trying to create a feeling for another person and ourselves and do it with an object. We're not really going to know if it's a good fit or not, because if you ask, you ruin it.
Right.
So, I mean, those are general things that can be pretty common. Maybe you guys don't do this. You ask everyone what they want before you send it.
I ask people that, that I'm less familiar with, you know, like for example, I get something for Scott and, I don't have to say, hey, what's something that you would like? Cause we know each other pretty darn well. Yeah. And, you know,
not what are you into?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Do you like video games? Do you like
is that a thing you're into somehow?
Yeah. Like comic books or something.
Sure.
But you know, there'll be people where, like the Tadpole Secret Santa kind of thing, right? Where I'm getting a gift for somebody that I don't know very well. I know they like this show, but we're already giving them the show. I can't give them more of this show. So having like a little bit of a, all right, what kind of things are you into? And then basing a present, hopefully around something that I think they'll like, based on those clues.
Right. And so there we have fun. It's just fun.
Yeah. That can be fun.
I mean, maybe you have a little pressure, Brian, cause you're the famous one, but like, you know, this isn't going to ruin your relationship with this person.
No,
you're not going to build this up for years where you've given them crappy gifts.
Right. I was going to say, oh, wow. Well, Brian Ibbett sent me a dog turd encased in Lucite, but it did come from Brian, and he signed it, so I guess that's good.
I mean, he is the famous one. This is great.
He is the famous one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So think about your own upbringing with gifts. So this is what, this can be applicable to everybody. So a couple things. Check your heart and your gut when you get a gift and you're disappointed. Are you actually disappointed because the gift isn't what you wanted, or is it that you're not known by the person who gave it to you? Because I'm not saying everything has to be some deep psychological stuff, but I think gifts really pull up a lot of garbage for people.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the, oh my God, does this person really think I'm into this sort of thing?
Yeah. I would want this, right? Yeah.
It's like your Hello Sticky, like Hello Sticky Kitties. Kitters.
Hello Sticky.
Hello Sticky Kitters.
Now hold on. Anybody out there, if you do have any spare Hello Sticky stickers,
I'd love them.
I'll give you my address at the end of the show.
Yeah, they have to be Hello Ryan. Sticky Kitters is what they have to be. And you'll be all set.
Hello Sticky Kitters.
Yeah.
I wonder as people age out of some younger stages of like the gifts and the dopamine hits from that versus getting an experience, right? Or something very sentimental. So for example, you know, we became friends at this bar and I kept one of the coasters when we were, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I send it to you 20
from the
years
bar
later.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
that
thing
cool.
is worthless. Worthless to anyone else, but to you, it means everything, right?
Yeah.
So those are really meaningful gifts, but people tend to hesitate to do that, mainly because it is a little too intimate and they don't want you to feel like a stalker or something. Or it's, you know, like that's a little vulnerable and putting yourself out there. So it's just much easier to go to Amazon and go click, 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 here we go.
Yeah.
Which actually leads to an interesting difference too between an object as a gift versus as an experience. At this stage of my life, I want no objects.
I'm kind of done, or whatever
you think I want, kids. What I want is an activity, and it can be so small, it's stupid. And I remember hearing mom say, I just want you all to be happy. And I'm like, that's so stupid. And now I'm like, oh yeah, no, you do. That's all you actually want. But that's because gifts are not my love language. If they were, I'd be like, where is my diamond bracelet? You know, it's not me. And everyone's different, and that's okay. But if you kind of go back to your own childhood of like, what were gifts? What did they mean? Was there... Because some of this is an extension of money, right? Some of it is an extension of, you know, having more or less than your friends or feeling like you got the shaft. Or we have some family lore around gray jeans in our family.
Mm-hmm.
My family, but Adam's family.
Right.
And so when anyone gets a thing they didn't want, but they asked for something else, we're like, well, sorry, you got a pair of gray jeans.
Gray jeans. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So gray jeans instead of the black ones that I asked for, you know? Mm. And sometimes, you know, like, are you going to get socks in your stocking? Like you can have your baggage around this stuff too, that comes to the table. So let me ask you too, just generally, when you think about getting gifts or giving gifts as a kid, what was modeled to you? What did you
do? Oh, geez.
Trauma you guys want to share?
As a kid, it was like magical because you'd go downstairs and there were suddenly things that were there that weren't there before. You didn't know what they were going to be. It didn't really matter what they were. It was just this, you know, it was like you were Indiana Jones uncovering secrets. That's
totally. Oh my God, Atari 2600.
Yeah, and it was great.
I've only talked about this every day since September. Yay!
Yeah, there was a lot of that. But also, I had a really hard time knowing what, like, I think we assigned stuff when we were kids to each other or something, or mom did. So I remember one year I had Matt, and I was like, I don't know what to get Matt. He barely knows English. I don't know anything about what he really likes to do. I know he likes electronics. Okay, I'm going to Radio Shack, and I bought an LED light at Radio Shack and gave it to him for Christmas. And he still just cheeses me about that all the time. Rightly so, because it's such a dumb, stupid gift. It's a
bag
little
of
like
resistors.
Yeah.
I hear you like electronics.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that. I've always struggled with that. It's hard for me. Where I don't struggle is like the sentimental one. If I can find that, I'm a great gift giver. If I can find it.
Yeah.
Like I can find that thing. But if it's like, oh, do they need a... can we get a George Foreman grill at midnight on Christmas Eve? Like,
well, you've got the advantage of being a very talented artist. So the sentimental gifts can come very easily to you by something you create rather than something that you buy and assign to the knowledge of some person.
That's a good point. And so, like in cases of people I'm closest to, that is kind of toward the latter part of our relationship, or when we're in the thick of that, if it's a birthday or Christmas gift, that is often what I'll do. It'll be a thing that took me a bunch of time and I had to really think about it.
Right.
And it had to match up with something they were really interested in. And I do like doing that.
Hours of your time. I mean, that's a lot.
But if you want me to do the,
I've shown this on the show, but.
Oh, do you have it? Do you have it handy? Oh, but the idea of me doing, something where I have to do a lot of shopping, or I got to get real commercial about things, or get super, you know, capitalistic about the holidays. I'm terrible at that stuff. Horrible. Cause it all seems overpriced. It all seems like it doesn't really come from anywhere except my pocketbook. Like, it just doesn't feel like, you framed it? No way.
I did. Of course I
did. Oh, look at this.
I had to take it off the wall.
When you can't see it.
Printer room. But this is, let's see if I can hold this up to where it's not getting bright light and you can see the porn on my computer screen. But,
this is it's a picture of Brian playing what's wrong with me?
Tempest.
Tempest. Jeez.
Tempest. Yes.
Yeah.
With a funny hat. And
you'd know him from behind. If you saw that, you go, that's Brian. Because of that hat.
You know, I wear my watch on my right wrist, and it's an Apple Watch. But other than that,
it's pretty accurate. But yeah, I drew that for his birthday, and it was, I'll tell you the process I went through. I was like, anything Brian and I ever really need from like a nerd perspective, we usually get. We just get it if we can.
We buy it for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'd have to find something really unique. I'm like, is there really truly anything that unique? And I'm like, the unique thing is to... let's make something cool. He did the same for me last Christmas for a 3D print of Batman, which is amazing. And I love it. So it's like, I like that stage of friendships/relationships, family, whatever. I like that one because then I don't know, there's meaning in all that. But I always feel like there's no meaning is when I go to the store and go, well, that looks okay. How much is that one? Okay. Should we get it on sale? I don't know. Do you have a coupon? Like, I hate all that stuff so bad.
Well, so you're describing the obligatory part of this.
Yes.
Social norm or feeling of like, I'm supposed to do a thing.
Yes.
Not, I want to do this thing.
Well, in this case, this year, Scott, the package that you're going to be receiving tomorrow is something that I did buy, but I knew that this was something that I said, oh my God, I'm getting one of these for Scott because he'll absolutely, kind of like the dream translation cards I got you a couple of years ago, because you're always talking about what I had this dream about Charles Corralt eating a croissant on my back porch. What does it mean?
This is what you're good at, and I think I'm terrible at, and I think other Kim's really good at this too. You've got an eye for like, oh, that's a thing that will be perfect. I'm so bad at that. I see stuff and I just go, I don't know, it just looks like stuff to me. Who wants that? I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
in
some cases, that is the case, right? It's like, do I just want to get him stuff, or do I want to get him something that's meaningful and has a connection?
I think part of it is I was just going to say, I feel like we are directed by the culture a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, of course.
That part bugs me. And I always fight against it a little bit. It bugs me.
That's why Tina and I don't like Valentine's Day, and we don't celebrate it, because it is purely directed by the culture. And even down to, oh, it's got to be a bouquet of roses or some chocolates or something like that. And you guys do it really well, Scott and Kim, with the post-it notes and the things like that. I think that is, if we were to celebrate Valentine's Day, that would be the way we do it.
Yeah.
But this thing of like, I work in an office and there's always this competition of who gets the biggest bouquet of roses and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, I'd rather get Tina something on April 14th.
Yeah. And go out that night and not have the place.
No, just some random day. And I just get her something.
Yeah. Like, and go out that day and have a restaurant not full, chock full of people trying to do the day.
It's taking advantage. Oh, we have a special chocolate fondue for $85. That's,
screw that.
That's gross. Scott, I just sent you a picture.
Okay.
Of what Peter gave me for my birthday.
Oh, I'm going to love this, aren't I?
Please tell me it's a
vacuum. Oh my gosh.
This is why I love Peter. I love this.
Listen, I know this is about shopping or gift giving for a second, but can I just talk about my weird child for 1 minute?
Yeah, do it.
Sure.
He says to me the other day, Mom, I lost a tooth like 2 weeks ago, and the tooth fairy has not come. And I was like, oh, dude, you got to like tell someone. So we, okay. And so I go like to put him to bed, and he has a small vacuum cleaner behind his pillow. Uh-huh. And I go, what are you doing? He's like, I have the best idea. And I want the tooth fairy to come and know that you could use a vacuum to pick up teeth. It would save her so much time. And so I'm he slept on a vacuum cleaner for like 2 weeks.
Like a little dust buster?
Yeah, like a small one. Like a little, not bigger than that, but like annoyingly sized. And God. Then I was like, oh, dude, how are you going to convey that to her? He's like, I think she'll just know. I'm like, okay, she won't.
That's anyway, adorable.
So this is what he gave me for my birthday.
Let me put this up here.
Took apart broken Xbox controller.
Brian, I'll put this in here as well.
Oh, is it one of those schematics, like the blueprint schematic?
Sort of. Prints? It's like it's even better than that because it's the actual parts laid out.
Oh,
it's not. Yeah, he wrote, I love you with the parts of
He wrote, I love you. I got to rotate it. How do I rotate it?
Which is very cute. And then here's my final Peter story. We go around the table at Christmas, at everyone's birthday, and just say three things we really love about that person or we appreciate. And we go in order. So you have to go deep. The reason is if you do one, everyone's like, you're great. By the third, you're like, oh, I really like how you enunciate this word. You know, like it makes him go deep. It's pretty
you have to dig
so
deep.
Peter, it gets to his turn and you can see he has that I'm in a different world face on. And I go, all right, bud, what nice thing do you want to say about me? And he goes, okay, it's kind of off topic, but let me just run it by you guys. So I'm like, okay. And he's like, all right, so I think I have an idea of how to design a jail cell that makes it impossible to kill yourself. And I was like, how long?
That Epstein thing really got
You're
to
great.
Him. Apparently.
Yeah, I was going to say that
exactly.
Epstein. Yeah.
I don't.
Did he know about? He didn't know. He didn't know about. He didn't know about Jeffrey Epstein hanging himself in jail.
No, of course not. No, he's just genuinely like trying to redesign the world all the time, and that. But you know, during my birthday month, this is the child. It's Scott. I'm raising Scott. Everyone, have you mentioned this?
You kind of are. You are raising. You are raising a version of me. Every time you tell me something about Peter, it's like a flashback. It's crazy.
I'm like, where's your hat? I don't know.
The only difference between me and that kid, I had a hernia when I was a baby. He had his guts on the outside when he was a baby. That's the only difference.
Yeah, a little package of hot dogs.
Yeah, little package of hot dogs.
I'm not sure you ever had to go outside in 7 degree weather because you cannot find your hat or gloves or coat for the life of you.
Oh, geez. Yeah, 7 degrees. Jeez.
Yeah, it was 7 degrees this morning.
That's too cold. I'm just going to put that out there. It's too cold.
It was so cold.
Yeah.
It's so cold. Okay. All right. Going back to the topic. Sorry. Yeah, very distractible today. So something about gifts, though, I wanted to ask. Okay. So you've got your own, like, there's the magic of Christmas, right? Or there's the, you've got birthday gifts. But there's a lot of us out here who have a little trauma around gift giving or receiving, sure. Right? Either someone really didn't like the gift you gave them, or, you know, your friends all seem to get things you never got. You know, it could be whatever it might be. And I have had to, and so I'm going to reveal a little bit of my gift receiving problem. Mm. And that is, I rarely want stuff. Like, I'm not a big, like, you know what, I can't wait to get. Mm. I just, it's not, it doesn't drive me very much. So when I do want something,
yeah,
I say it and people hear it and don't get me the one thing I said.
They don't write it down when they're supposed to.
They don't listen. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I get whatever ideas they came up with. And then, you know, so what happens, the reverse, and this is how you can usually find your gift giving trauma or your gift trauma is, what do you do? So what I do is, whatever my kids ask for, they can say stupid. They're not even asking for things. They mention things. I am on the hunt to try to not miss what they might be wanting because, you know, and so if someone's, you know, Adam will give me like, okay, these are five things that might be interesting. I will get all five. And he's all like, right. What are you doing? I'm like, you said them out loud.
I know. You're
and
so,
left so,
brain.
You're
so,
really
so much better at than me.
Yeah. I'm terrible at it.
And so then you go, okay, but that's your thing. And then you go and raise a family or have friends and you do your gift giving response. I mean, so really for anyone out here, I want you to try this. Find your gift giving problem. Okay, you both just said I'm terrible at this. Okay, mm-hmm. What are you terrible at? Find your problem. What's your problem?
Listening during the year, hearing Tina say and multiple times, do you know what I'd really like is one of these. Keep that in mind for Christmas. And okay. I'm like, oh, I will totally remember that. And I never, like, I should just, why don't I have a note on my phone that I just type in? Yeah. Gift idea for Tina and
it feels like it's there. Like I kind of want to say like the movie phone guy in Seinfeld, why don't you just get the gift you want to get for yourself, you know, like I don't
exactly.
know
exactly yes.
which is kind of gotcha. Happens right. once in a while. Kim will be like, she'll show up and go, hey, I got a thing for my birthday. I'm like, wait, you can't do that. I'm supposed to do it. Just pretend that I told you and you remembered and then you got it. So yeah.
That's
so you mean that your wives have worked around you is what's happening.
Oh yeah.
There. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take Brian. We're going to take your example. Okay. So she says the thing. Yep. So I have a sneaky suspicion that when Christmas rolls around, Tina has listened to you throughout the year and then she's given you something.
Okay. Oh, 100%. So you, yes.
Right. Okay. So one person's doing all the emotional labor of gift giving. The other one is miserably. Okay, so then you stop and you go, all right, what is the price for this? Is there a price? I mean, she still likes you, obviously, but like...
Sure.
But here's the best part, is you have the element of surprise. You have that. Okay, so going back to this idea of the moment of opening a gift, where you are seen, love is shared, of jokish, like whatever it is, and it just is that delight, right? Uh-huh. That is the thing every one of us really would like to feel and like to give someone else to feel.
Right.
You have a secret weapon here. You can act stupid all year. But if you just pulled out your phone, if you heard of Apple Notes, it's a little yellow notepad. You just write it down immediately and it just says gift ideas. You can find it again.
Probably right there on my homepage. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Just have it right there. And then when the time comes for a gift to be given, and really, Brian, you brought up a really good point. Actually, a random Tuesday is the best time to give a gift. Christmas is obvious, right?
Yeah.
Birthdays, Valentine's, that's all obvious. On a random day, if you really want to capture that delight, that's the best way to do it. So write it down, give her the gift, give it to her on a random Tuesday. And then you get the joy, she gets the joy. And it's not that you know, yours is some really deep problematic behavior. It's very common. But, you know, can we switch it up a little so we're actually going for the thing we want? So maybe if you're feeling really like the drudgery of this, think in terms of more sort of gifts that are meaningful. Maybe it's you write something. Maybe it's that you know someone who loves TikTok and you make a stupid TikTok video for them. You know, just like find a... And
oh,
really
I don't
what
know
it
anybody
is,
but, like that.
Yeah,
I know. Well, nobody. What it does is it just gives you that person, like, you see me, you care about me. But we all have that fear of like, oh, no, someone's giving me something. And then how do they even know me? But you have to take some risks here. So figure out what your problem is. So in my case, my problem is I'm only going to say it once. And so I've had to learn to say, I'm not kidding. This is the thing I want. And then Adam has now gone and just gotten the thing that I've said. He has figured out.
He's figured it out. Because
Christmas of major disappointment has really helped with, you know, that trauma for him.
Very right? easy in that regard. It's like Wendy says a thing. That's what she doesn't want anything else all year. Suddenly there's one thing. I'll get that thing. That's simple. I like that.
Easy peasy. And then, you know, I can't get him the gray jeans. So I get the five things he says. Right. So you can see our stuff showing up in our relationship of gift giving. And that is what's happening between you and every person you feel obligated to give a gift to. We all just have our own stuff we bring to it, and you can get creative and think about it. And, you know, just, I don't know, or do nothing. The other thing you could do is my gift to you is to not give you a gift. My gift is to be sane this Christmas. I don't know. Get creative. People are, everyone's in the same boat. I mean, that's the reality, and you know, like, depending on culture, right? But for the most part, everyone's in the same boat. And you know what you could say to people is like, you know what? I just want to go to lunch with you once this year. That's what I want. I want a coupon. Can I get a coupon for a
there
lunch?
You go. Just to redeem people at any time. Let's go get lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just ask. I mean, half the battle is the guest part, and that's a very, it's a very built-in piece of this of like, I'm going to guess it, and then you're going to, it's going to be wonderful. Yeah. But this, the research, by the way, doesn't back that up.
Right.
Doesn't back that up. Yeah. People love the thing they wanted more than you thinking they're going to like a surprise.
Right.
Totally. And communicate. You know, that, and I'd much rather have somebody say, oh, you know, I don't know you super well. What kinds of things are you into? Or what kinds of things do you want? I want to get you a present. But if, you know, Tina were to say, so what kinds of things do you like? I want to get you something, Brian. Then I'd be a little bit more upset about it. But if it's somebody outside of the inner circle, then totally fine with that.
That's a,
okay,
that's
so I'm going to give you two a challenge. Okay. Do you have your wife's gifts for Christmas?
I do.
I sort of do. There's some questions about whether the thing I'm doing is going to happen in time. So I'm working on a backup plan. So okay. I will know by the end of today what I am doing for sure. Cause that other thing is either going to be late or not.
So really quick, do your wives prefer actual gifts or experiences more?
Oh, good question.
Tina prefers experiences, but the thing I'm getting her this year is an actual gift because it's something that I know she wants.
In Kim's case, I think it's probably aces, kind of 50-50. She'd go either way. Okay. Yeah.
You should check on that.
I mean, I know that she likes thoughtful things, and I know she likes thoughtful experiences. I think I really think she'd be happy either way. She always
Ireland
is.
Ireland was a 50th birthday gift for Tina. That easily That's the best awesome. Gift I've ever gotten her.
Yeah, that's a big one.
the gift of fear, being in a passenger in a car that I'm driving on the wrong side of the road.
That is something. That's love, Brian.
That is love. True, pure love.
Fear is the gift that just keeps on peeing.
Yep.
So this is just the final visual I want everyone to have of what not to do. Because, you know, we're like, oh, what do I do? How should I? This is the just don't do this and you'll be all right. So do you remember the scene in The Simpsons where Homer gives Marge a bowling ball with his name on it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
This just came up during Trivia Tuesday night. We were just talking about this.
Yeah. And she's like, why would I want this? I've never bowled in my life. He's like, well, I know someone who might enjoy it. So just don't do that. Don't give someone a gift you want. And that's actually kind of what the whole challenge of gift giving is we're just trying to make somebody happy, or we're trying to meet an obligation. Like, it's really that focalism, right? Which it's our experience of this and our experiences of them experiencing it. We're a little blinded to what it might be from their end. And so we go with what we do or what we need. So it's just about, you know, maybe figuring out a different angle to look at it. Checking if the person likes experiences more than an actual item, you know, listening over the year to find out what is interesting to them. And then really, you know, maybe realize you have some of your own baggage that comes into play and that you can kind of deal with that a little bit.
Oh yeah.
It's helpful to smooth over things. If you find that every single gift giving option, there is a problem. Okay. Well, there's a problem.
Yeah. What if you never want another gift ever again? I know people are going to keep giving them to me, but what I'm saying is I would be okay if
me too.
I got nothing at Christmas. I'd be fine.
Why is that? That's fascinating because I feel that exact way. Like,
I don't need anything. Yeah, don't do it.
I would say that, but I want something to open while everybody else is opening their stuff. Because I would say, oh, you don't need to get me anything.
And then you're like,
and then it's like, I'm just sitting there like, oh, that's really nice. Oh, look at that. That's really cool. It's not that I want those things. I just want something to do while they're opening their
presents. I think I have an excuse the last couple of years because Van's all over the place and I can be happily distracted by him.
You either get to help him open his presents or assemble the things that he got while everybody else is opening.
Yeah, presents. Which is great. I'm happy to be that guy. That's my gift. I don't need anything. So I don't know why I feel that way more and more, but he's the reason it's easy to avoid now for me. But I just find it. I don't know why I feel that way or why Wendy feels that way. I just don't. I don't want to be. I don't like being the center of attention. It's a weird thing to say for somebody who records so much audio and puts it out in the world, but I don't like being the center of attention. And so for whatever reason, when a gift time happens, especially at our house growing up, Wendy would be in charge of passing them out for some reason. I don't know why you were.
I've always been Santa my whole life.
Yep. You were the banker when we played
Monopoly. And I still am. I'm still like, I don't want to, I will end up with a pile because I don't want to open them.
No. But even like when she's like five or six years old.
I will send them to you.
5 or 6 years old, there's Wendy over by the tree handing out gifts. And then we had to do them one at a time. There was no everybody at once. It was always like, now let's watch mom take her long time to try to preserve the paper and use it again for some reason. And she'll do her thing. And then, oh, here's one of the Koreans just ripping it apart. What are they getting? And I mean, we didn't call him one of the Koreans. It was like my sister Misha, whatever. But the point is,
one of the Koreans.
But that was the rule. There was never any like, let's all go at once. And I think I didn't like that focus. That always bugged me. Mm-hmm. So,
because it really was, okay, I don't know this for sure. But as a parent, you put work into it. You want your kid to be happy. Like you, it starts really strongly there, right? So I'm going to watch you to make sure you appreciate it. And then when you get your gray jeans or you get your socks that you are not excited about, I mean, right then we already know what the pressure is. The pressure is to be like, yay. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I don't love that either.
Yeah.
So we were traumatized.
I don't know what it means or if it's, I don't know if it means it's bad or good, or I don't have any, you know, I don't know how to interpret why we don't like it, but I just don't. But I do like giving, and I'm terrible at understanding what's best for people until I really, really know them. But even in Kim's case, I struggle because she likes a ton of things. And then I feel like choice paralysis. It's like, oh, well, she likes that kind of jewelry stuff, and she's super into that thing over there at Sephora. She's always stopping in and picking up. Maybe I could do one of those this year. Or then, hey, maybe a trip somewhere. Or, you know, like I know she wants all of those things, and I get paralyzed with choice a little bit with her.
You like freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much.
Analysis paralysis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't love that. But anyway.
Paradox of choice.
There you have it.
Using all our little.
Yeah. All these words. Idioms. These are amazing.
That was a book you made me read in week 7 of Therapy Thursday.
That's right.
By the way, we're coming up on 12 years, people.
What?
Holy cow.
How is that possible? You were in your 30s when we started the show.
I was a young 30.
Yeah, you were young 30.
I was a mid 30.
What were you in 2011? What were you in 2011? You were 32? Something like that?
Yeah.
I was 41? No, you may have been 20. Oh my gosh.
I wasn't 32.
I don't want to think about it. It's all crazy. No, you must have been, because if I was 41, you would have been.
I'm 7 years younger.
Six, 7 years younger than me. That was six, no? You know what the gift I need? I need a calendar that shows how different all our ages are, apparently. That's what I need.
Yeah, you do. Do you think your audience likes it when we just talk like this?
Yeah, I think they love it, and they can't wait for more.
Yeah, the thing that happened at that one.
Yeah.
Talked
about how Scott burps at Thanksgiving dinner.
Come on, that's a great story. It's a great tradition.
It is a great story.
It's a grand tradition. All right, Wendy, we hope you have a great week. Do you have anything going on that you want to promote or anything, or all good?
Soon in the new year, but right now, just everyone good to each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my wish for everyone at the end of 2020.
I think that's a really good wish.
I do too. Take apart a 360 controller and make the words "I love you" and mount it on wood. That's what I think you all should do. Be like Peter. Be like Peter.
But also don't.
But also maybe don't be like Peter. We need the world to function, but we need Peters too. So, you know, make room. Leave room for the Peters of the world. All right, Wendy, have a fantastic week. We will see you. There may not be a show next week, but we'll figure it out and I'll let you know. Bye now.
Okay.
All right. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't expect that to... I got in my own head on gift stuff again. I don't know why I suck at it so bad or why I hate it. I just don't like it.
Well, you don't suck at it with the stuff that, you know, the personal stuff that you do, like the drawing you did of me, the Pokemon thing you did of me a couple of years ago.
Don't you wish this all it was? Like this, if this was all gift giving was, is everybody was mandatorily required to make something cool, regardless of their skill set, I think that would be a happier world.
For sure. Yeah,
it would be
the utopia that Star Trek promises, because there would be no financial trade.
That's right.
And stuff going
except
on.
The eugenics wars, which we'd have to go through. But other than that,
that's right. And that damn Kobayashi Maru.
Oh, I can't get through that again.
And again, I have to do that thing. Oh,
rest in peace, Kirstie Alley. You failed it twice. All right, let's move on and get out of here. A couple of quick notes. I mentioned this yesterday. I'll say it again tonight. During the Game Awards, there'll be a co-stream by me and the Core fellas at the same time that thing starts. I believe it's at 5:30 p.m. Mountain. I'm not positive on the time start, but we'll be there for it and doing a co-stream at frogpants.tv or twitch.tv/frogpants, however you get there. And then Friday, we'll be doing a proper show about it. Normally, we do those on Thursdays. We also have Film Sack this weekend. We are watching, what is it?
Europa Report.
That's right.
Please have the Europa Report on my desk by 9 a.m. Saturday morning.
That's right, Costanza. Can't stand you. anyway, yeah, we're doing that this weekend. That'll be a whole lot of fun. And I know there's other stuff, but I can't think of any of it. I know you got Coverville today, 1 p.m.
Well, people won't hear the Europa Report for a couple of weeks because
right.
Yeah. We're watching an episode of Doctor Who called Last Christmas.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah. I mean, I didn't forget. Yeah. I knew it entirely. Doctor Who, Last Christmas. That's this weekend. And then Europa Report the week after that. We have to shuffle things. It's family time, you know?
That's right. Exactly. Holidays and all that stuff.
Don't forget Coverville today at 1. Coverville. That's right. Twitch.tv. Coverville actually. Yeah. Coverville actually today at 1 p.m. And I think that's everything for now. I do want to thank everybody for joining us on our Patreon this time of year. It means a lot. I know some people are a little bit tight around the holidays. We totally get it. If you have to, you know, drop your thing a little bit, and some of you have had to kind of like put it on pause. We get it. But if any of you out there are feeling like, man, my pockets are heavy with all this extra change, well, you can make up for those people and bump up your pledges over at patreon.com/TMS. Hey, Brian, let's get out of here. You got some kind of deal going here with music? What do you got here?
I do. Remember when I said we had something special for Amy at the end of the show? Well, it's now the end of the show, and we have something special for Amy. She wrote in and said, "Hello, my beloved internet big brothers."
Aww.
On December 8th this year, I turned 46, and on December 9th, my son turns 18. I'm so proud of the person he's grown into, and in honor of our consecutive birthdays, I'd love to hear a cool cover of Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle. Is it too early to get a fish sandwich and then eat rice?
Never. Well, maybe the rice. Let's see. I've got too early. Okay.
I can
No.
Let's test the ship.
I don't like.
Stop. Ship.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
There it is.
Hey, it's too hard to get a fish sandwich.
Okay, and then what was the other one?
You can eat rice.
You can eat rice? I can do that. I can eat rice. Hold on. I do not have that one handy. Hold on. I'll do it. I'll do a quick search. Okay, here you go.
Then you can eat rice!
All right, there you
go.
Well
done.
Enjoy. Woo. It was worth it. Worth every extra minute it took to find it.
It's longer every time. Yeah. All right, she says, love you guys, signed Amy. All right, I'm about to play for you, or Scott technically is about to play for you, my favorite version of the song Time in a Bottle. This thing is so cool and takes the original in such an amazing direction. It's the version by Leaky Lee. I think that's how you pronounce her name. This is a single that she released in 2018 covering Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle. Here is who I'm pronouncing, Leaky Lee.
I love it. We will be back when? We'll be back Monday. And
we got
shows every day with the exception.
Let's try on a couch. Then we're going to watch some She-Hulk with you on the couch.
Oh, that's right. We're doing that Friday. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, we're doing that Friday. So that is a thing that's happening between tomorrow. Now and that weekend. Yes. Yeah, tomorrow. 3 p.m. We're doing another couch party, continuing our Ms. Marvel watch. Also, a quick note to patrons. I put up a note on Patreon, but we are going to start removing older ones because my storage cap is getting hit. So the one about Kingpin, get it today because it's going away.
That's right. Hey, look behind me. It's my son.
Oh, look. What? Hold on.
Look. A wild Tristan appears.
A wild Tristan has appeared.
That's right.
In his beard.
Just about to end the show. So
get the F out. Just kidding. He can do whatever he wants. All right. That's it. Thank you all very much. We will be back Monday. We'll see you then.
Treasure, and then again, I would spend them with you.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com. Oh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.